Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you from the Bryce Jordan Center. We've had several requests on Facebook for a replay of the Kevin Herr call at the end of last night's game. We will get to that later, plus the Kevin Herr rant of the day at 4:40.
I don't know that I've had time to come up with a rant, but, you know, I'm sure I can come up with something.
Why haven't you had time to come up with a rant?
I've been still recovering.
I usually recover about 3 minutes after the game's over.
Yeah, I did not.
They carried you out of the gym last night, didn't they?
They didn't have to. I was floating outside out of the gym.
That's a great win.
That was my Bucknell, Kansas. That was my Bucknell, Kansas, okay?
Well, we will see them against either Athens or Milton, who play tonight. Athens, the number 2 seed, Milton, the number 3. Either way, they are going to move on. The Pirates are in training camp right now, and as we go to spring training, eventually we're going to get to the Phillies. We're going to talk with Chris Wheeler and so forth, but we balance things out. And spend a few minutes this morning with Tim Nevert from Bradenton.
Tim, let's talk about the early days of camp. Obviously, a lot of people are getting into the mix. What's been the tone that Clint Hurdle has wanted to set in camp?
Well, I think he's set a positive tone, as he always does, but I think more of a sense of purpose this year. It just seems like there's a lot more confidence. Not that there hasn't been confidence in the past, it just seems like there's more of it. I think these players are at a point where they believe that they can win and they can win consistently, and it's a good group of players. And, you know, the guy who's been the leader since he arrived in the scene last year is pitching today in A.J. Burnett. He'll pitch against Tampa Bay in the game at 1 o'clock, but it just seems that the tone is a little bit different, and different in a good way around here right now.
Well, you and I both know that there's a learning process on how to win. And, you know, 2 years ago, they went past the All-Star break, and there was a good last year went much deeper. So does this team now have an understanding, as difficult as it is to win, how to win?
Yeah, I think they have a better understanding of it, certainly. And you've got guys on the club who've won. And, you know, the guy who's going to be the everyday backstop, and Russell Martin, you know, he was in the playoffs last year. He knows what it's like to win. And A.J. Burnett knows what it's like to win. And there's a number of guys who've been on winning ball clubs before. Now you get the younger players. Who haven't been on winning ball clubs, but now it's their time to shine.
I want to get to Russell. Excuse me. I want to get to Russell Martin for a moment, because with the Dodgers, he was in a winning organization. He was an all-star. The Yankees speak for themselves. Has he brought a presence? Because A.J. can pitch and be a leader every fifth day, but Martin's going to be out there every day.
Yeah, I think he has brought a presence, and he's brought the word on him is that he's been really, really good so far in the clubhouse and on the field. He's battling a little upper body soreness right now, but that's, you know, that's to be expected sometimes in camp. Guys getting little bumps and bruises early on. But I think that for him, there's a lot more to a guy in his situation that could come in. Maybe some more intangibles. You know, Rod Barajas was an older player, a veteran player, but he just did not have some of the same things, the same skill set that Russell Martin has. I mean, Russell's probably a better defensive catcher. And again, has been in those winning organizations. He knows what it's like to be around those organizations. But to see his expression and to hear him talk about, you know, what he thinks is going on now in Pittsburgh is a big deal. And now you're starting to see guys like Russell Martin want to sign with the Pirates, and players like A.J. Burnett want to sign with the Pirates, where in past years, in the recent history, free agents like that wouldn't have touched the Pirates. Now you've got guys that want to be here and think they can help this team win.
And, you know, Francisco Liriano wanted to come there and also be a part of the Pirate organization. Do you like the mix between the youth? You mentioned McCutchen Alvarez. You mentioned Walker, a little bit older, and the older players on the team. Is there now a better mix on this team?
You know, I think so, because when we were talking in 2009, it was all about the prospects. When we were talking in 2010, it was all about on-the-job training for these prospects. And in 2011, they started to figure it out a little bit. Last year, they figured it out a lot more, and this year they hope to figure it out completely. And really, you know, with the principal owner of the Pirates, Bob Nutting, addressing the team last week and saying, you know, he expects them to win. He put a little pressure on them, where he hasn't done that in the past. And he said, you know, now's the time. You guys have been here. You guys have experienced it. We've helped develop you, and now is the time to start winning. So I think there is more pressure. I think that just in talking with General Manager Neil Huntington, he feels that there is a more sense of purpose and more confidence among these players, and that he's pretty confident something's going to get done, something positive, and I think it'll be a pretty special summer in Pittsburgh as a result.
And we're with Tim Neverett, one of the play-by-play. Tim, last year a key was middle relief. You can argue the Pirates had one of the top two or three middle groups in all of Major League Baseball last year. Now they get stretched to the max as the season went along. But what's the feeling as to how that part could as that bridge between the starters and Jason Grilley to close?
Well, what I think, you know, when you take a look at one guy who has been so far, waiting to see how he does in the World Baseball Classic, is Chris LaRue. LaRue could be a guy who figures in that role of middle relief pretty prominently this year. I talked to him yesterday, and he's going to be a starter for Team Canada, where right now he's working just an inning. But the Pirates are going to try to help him get stretched out a little bit. His next outing, he'll go two innings, then he's going to go three innings before he gets to start for Team Canada. But when he comes back, they think that he could be a pretty good piece to that middle relief puzzle. You know, where does Jared Hughes figure in this year? Is he going to be more of a back of the bullpen guy, or is he going to be more of a middle guy again, kind of a shutdown middle guy? You know, we're seeing some arms, some veteran major league arms, or at least some guys who've been around the big leagues who could fill out those roles as well. And I talked to Michael McHenry, the catcher, the other day about the arms in camp, and he said that's the most he's ever seen in a camp that has this much talent. And he's been with the Rockies and Red Sox too. So, and Russell Martin has made similar comments that there's so much talent in terms of the arms in camp. That middle relief role, Steve, I don't know how it's going to work out, but they're going to have some talented guys to choose from. There's going to be some happy guys. There's going to be some upset guys come the end of March.
And then the next part of it, though, is that if there's any look at the Pirate pitching from last year, which was really, really good, was that they weren't getting, you know, A.J. did it, but giving them consistent seven innings and reducing that workload. Is that a point of emphasis with some of the starters that you need to go a little deeper? You need to get three or four more outs in a game?
Yeah, I think that was a point with a guy like James McDonald last year, and he finally did it a couple of times, but he needs to do it more. I think in, you know, seven innings is obviously great. Most managers will take six today,
right,
because of the specialists in the bullpen. So if you can get six solid out of a guy and he leaves with a lead after six, I think in today's day and age, you're happy with that. Seven obviously is better. You can get guys going eight and nine. I mean, you know, Burnett started to go deep last year. Wandy Rodriguez has the ability to chew up innings and go deep. We'll see after that as far as how the rotation shakes down. You know, Jeff Karstens has the ability to go deep in games, but he hasn't been able to go deep in seasons because he wears down. So, and there's another guy, by the way, who could figure in a middle relief role over time, because the Pirates do have two guys they figure to be in the starting rotation coming back, and Liriano in May and Charlie Morton in June. Coming off of Tommy John surgery. So there's still a lot of questions to be answered as far as pitching.
I think the World Baseball Classic was, you know, an interesting idea when it started. A player importantly, how does management feel about the World Baseball Classic and its placement before the season starts?
Well, I think it's a double-edged sword. I think that the teams that are paying these guys aren't really crazy about them going, but they'll let them go play in most cases. I know Russell Martin recently pulled out from Team Canada, and that was probably a relief to the Pirates, you know, more than anything. And it's now in a position where, you know, you'd hate to see the event go away. You'd hate to see the event not happen because it does such a good job globally to promote baseball. It is a great event. It starts Friday, day after tomorrow, and goes to the 19th. But you know, they've got one of their top pitching prospects, Jameson Taillon, pitching for Team Canada. His dad's of Canadian descent. And his first assignment is the United States, so he's got a tough draw his first game out. Is he stretched out enough? Well, he's not going to go nine. These pitchers are not going to go nine. They're not going to see any complete games. That's why they have a lot of pitchers in the World Baseball Classic. They do understand that these guys are still professionals, and they can't wear them down. So, you know, you'll see more relief pitching in the WBC than you would during the regular season of a major league team. So, I you know, it's a double-edged sword, I think. Some people like it, some people don't, but you know, I think it's something that's necessary to have in baseball now is this event. I think it's a good event.
If it makes you feel any better as we do this, it's snowing. Okay? So if it makes you feel
sorry
any better.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I bet you
sorry
do.
To hear that.
Tim, it is always an absolute pleasure. I know the last time I had a chance to talk to you was before the Duquesne-Penn State basketball game. So best of luck down there, and we will talk to you down the road soon, I hope.
All right. Good luck. Big Ten, see you.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Tim Neverett.
Tim Neverett joining us from Bradenton. Great to have him on board. I know being patient as always, and probably wanted to talk to Kevin far more than me, is Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave. Welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hello.
Hello, Dave.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing Dave and you.
Okay. Basically, two things, and I'll get off and listen. One is just, you know, just want Penn State to play the best game they can and see where that, you know, how the season finishes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kevin Herr can pass on
yep.
a message to Steve Williams. I don't know what the story was on Saturday night, but when he was broadcasting, you could hardly make it out who was what he was talking about. And when he'd go for a break to back to the radio station, it almost blew your ears off. The volume was so high.
Well, he's a rather quiet guy compared to me, and the settings probably weren't the same. That's
no,
probably what it
no,
was.
I said, I don't know what, you know, when they went out there to that for that district with a 4-9 combined. But I'm saying his broadcast, you could hardly hear it.
Well, you're limited. Listen, the thing that a lot of folks don't understand is sometimes with some of these locations, you're not quite sure what the facilities are going to be like. And this one wasn't too bad because it was Clarion University, but there was one or two things that didn't seem to match up real well with the equipment that we had to use. So that's probably why the audio was a little bit lower than normal.
I mean, you could hardly hear it, Kevin. So, I didn't know, you know, there's something going on. That's all. I'm just passing it on to say, hey, you know, if you want to check your equipment.
Yeah, we were aware of the situation, and we think it might have had something to do with the complication between their setup, the setup there at Clarion, and what we had. So,
because I said, you know, and then you really break to go to the radio station. It was almost like, you know, off the board.
We wanted to make sure you heard the commercials. That was the whole idea.
Talk to you guys later.
Thanks a lot, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave. We're at the Bryce Jordan Center. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
All right, let's get to the Kevin Herr call of the day.
Call of the year, maybe.
This is the end of the game. We'll set it up for you. The game is tied late. And Kevin Herr and the Chief Dave Ritchie set the stage for a dramatic Shikellamy win.
I just don't like Scotty Heater sneaking around in that corner over there.
In the backcourt, Kozik with 16. Will the Ironman decide to take the overtime?
Well, they're going to get a shot, but they're not going to be... Oh, there's a layup.
Kozik drives in, lays one off the window. No good. Rebound out to Ernie with five. Ernie sets up. Finds CJ for the win. Good! It's good! CJ from the left side fires up a three, and the Braves stun the Ironman 50-47.
Stop chuckling.
The Shikellamy bench.
Stop chuckling. I can hear you.
Nobody's chuckling on this end.
We're I can hear you.
I didn't.
Professor Jones is evaluating you as he would a student in his class.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'd love to hear that.
I literally was not. I don't know what. No. We're both sitting here listening. Seriously, we're
paying careful attention.
Seriously, we're not you know, fooling around here. So we were both listening intently about that. It's brilliant what you did. Especially, I'll tell you, the part that's really good in that, from a broadcasting point of view, is that when the ball gets to Tyler on the wing, you mentioned there's 5 seconds to go. Okay, that means you're in total command of what's going on. When you're talking about, when you have the ability to do core position and time to set up the game-winning shot, that means you're in control of what's going on. Okay, some people just, because he goes in for the layup, he misses it, he goes back outside, and you mentioned there's 5 seconds to go, and then he flips it from brother to brother, and the one brother shoots it and wins the game. That means you're in complete command of what's going on.
And also, you gave the score at the end, so everybody knew.
Yeah.
You gave it, you had it tied, and then the three-pointer, and bang. So the listeners all knew exactly what the final score was.
I'd like to say that was all planned, but I have no idea what I said in that about 30-second span until I heard it this morning.
No. Look. No, you don't want to know what the worst thing you can do? I'll give you a good example of that. Jack Buck, the great Jack Buck, Joe Buck's father.
Right.
Passed away, four years ago?
4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. He called Mark McGwire's 61st home run that tied Roger Maris's record. Okay? And when McGwire hit it, he paused it. You listen to the tape. He pauses for just a split, and he says, "And that one's headed toward Planet Maris," right? And then whatever. Okay? He regretted that as soon as he said it. And he said so. He says, "You know what? I thought about it. I planned it out as to what I would say when the momentous moment happened." Okay? He said, "I'll never do that." He said, "I've never done that before. I'll never do it again." You never plan out moments. People say, you know, have asked, you know, 2K for LJ, how did you come up with the epic of the Orange Bowl, or what you said, you know, Joe Paterno, one man, one school, 400 wins, you'll never see this again, whatever. You just say it at the moment. There's no way you plan that out. You can't plan out what you did last night. What you did was you described exactly what was happening. You told the fan how much time was left. You told the fan that the shot won the game. You told us what the final score was and that the Shikellamy bench emptied.
Painted the picture.
That's what you're supposed to do. I mean, it was brilliantly called in a confined quarter, so thus the noise level of the fans around you is louder. It's louder.
I mean, they were literally, ask Bob, they were surrounding us.
I just want to know how you got Richie off your shoulders at the end, because he was bouncing around over there.
Yeah. Well, listen, this guy just had a terrible loss for the girls, and he was bouncing. I mean, he was so depressed in the first half. Things were not going well. He was like, oh, here we go. And, boy, I'll tell you what, he was about as excited as anybody.
And it was great, extremely well announced. You do not plan out those moments. You cannot plan them because they sound incredibly unnatural.
They sound rehearsed.
Yes, they sound rehearsed.
They sound rehearsed, and you know, there's nothing worse than something that's rehearsed that doesn't come off well.
No, it's like when Ozzie Smith hit the game-winning home run against the Dodgers in the playoffs. The same shit, Buck. Go crazy, St. Louis. Go crazy. That's natural.
Absolutely.
That's memorable, okay? So the same Jack Buck in a different circumstance. Kirk Gibson home run. Jack
yes.
Buck. I can't believe what I just saw.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Sunbury Motors Studios mobile today. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Keywords 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf. And the Hillshire's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hillshire's General Store. 7 miles south of Sales Grove and Routes 11 and 15. And you can always check it out online at www.hillshirestore.com. Kevin Herr, 5 minutes away from the rant of the day. He says because he's basking so much in the glow of last night, he's not been able to go. It's hard to rant when you're in such a good mood.
You know, he's got a big game coming up probably Friday night. Do you think he'll recover in time?
Oh, I think he'll be ultra-prepared.
Could also be Saturday night,
especially
though.
Ooh, another extra day to pour over the books.
Well, that's one of the discussions. Yeah, that's one of the discussions that the District 4 committee is having right now. As a matter of fact, later tonight, because of the postponement last night of Athens-Milton, there's talk that they may move the championship game to Saturday. That way, in this case, Shikellamy would not have a one-day advantage.
And what a conflict for wrestling in District, for Shikellamy wrestling at regionals and who's going to flip that coin, Roger?
You know what? Play it Friday night.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's ridiculous. Okay, you get to this time of the year. Okay, they're 17 and 18 years old. All right, play ball. Okay? The NCAA tournament, you know how much time you get between games? You get a day. Okay? Day.
Just play it.
And, Bob, do you think that...
And don't give me this one extra day, blah, blah, blah.
No.
Just come on. Stop playing a game. Play the game Friday night.
I want to see it played Friday night, too. But, Bob, let me ask you something, and you've gone to a lot of these games. Do you see a better turnout in high school games, especially playoff games, that are played Friday night or Saturday night?
I think Friday night, actually.
I agree.
Big difference.
Friday night's not even close. Look, it's not even a decision. Okay, it's not even a decision. You have it scheduled Friday night, you play it Friday night. It's the way it goes. It's basketball. Okay? They're not digging ditches when it's 30 degrees out. Okay? It's basketball. Oh, one day advantage. Whoop-dee-doo.
Yeah.
Okay, one day advantage. The meeting's over.
Oh, well, I'll bet the winner of tonight's game doesn't care.
The meeting's over.
There you go.
Okay?
Jim Zach and the
done.
District 4 Committee, your job's been taken care of.
Oh.
Thank you, Steve Jones.
But look, common sense has to come into play. You don't push it back a day. Okay, what happened, happened. Fine. It's an act of God. It snowed. Okay, next.
We
okay,
get snow around here.
You play tonight, you got tomorrow, you play the next day. How much prep time do you have in the NCAA basketball tournament? Oh, gee, you play Friday, come back, play Sunday. Well, how about that? How about in Puerto Rico? Penn State played 3 games in 3 days. I mean, look, they're high school kids, 16, 17, 18. I think they've got the stamina to do it.
The I'm question not, is, do the broadcasters
that's
have
what
the
I was
stamina?
Just going to say. I'm not sure that I haven't.
There you go.
Well, good. Then you can tone it down at the end.
Now, we both know that's not going to happen. We both know that's not going to happen.
No, but I don't think they should move it, okay? No. You have wrestling going on. Saturday night regionals and so forth. There's a reason that you pick Friday night to play the game, okay? There's a reason. There's no reason to change it. I don't want to hear about turnaround time, prep time, things like that. Come on. It's high school basketball, all right? You're not talking about, you know, you're talking about young players, and believe the coaches are good enough where they already know exactly what they want to do, no matter who wins the game, regardless. And they both teams that are playing tonight already know they're playing Shikellamy. There's no mystery. Okay, well, they already know who they're playing.
And Athens has done their scouting on Shikellamy and Danville. I know that because I know they had folks there, and they had planned to have folks there.
But exactly.
Now let me say this. This is I'm giving you my opinion on why it may be held this Saturday. That's not necessary. I have no inside information on the fact that it might be moved for another reason. That's my opinion.
Well, it shouldn't be moved. It should stay on Friday.
End of story there.
I mean, there's no reason for it. There's no need. Okay? The extra day stuff, oh, please. Yep. Okay? I mean, I'm sorry. Across the board, it's it doesn't change.
One big game to mention again tonight is Bucknell hosting American. At 7 o'clock, Doug Birdsong, Terry Conrad from the Soika. Big game.
Yeah, big game tonight, and this is a great opportunity for Bucknell. They win tonight, and they will wrap up the number one seed and home court advantage throughout the Patriot League tournament. Huge.
And that starts 1 week from tonight.
Right. The next part of it is the third time that they will win the Patriot League regular season championship. Nobody's ever done that before. An incredible accomplishment by these seniors, by Dave Paulson and so forth. Wrap it up tonight. Go down to Annapolis. Take care of Ed's team on Saturday. And then get ready for the postseason. All wraps into the postseason. Now, I had Joe Lenardi on in the last hour. If you're wondering where Bucknell would be seated if they won the Patriot Championship, they would be a 13. Okay? They'd be 13 if they won the Patriot League Championship. So just so you know, going in, that's where Joe Lenardi has them bracketed right now.
That probably is not unrealistic. Last year, a very good Lehigh team was 15th.
Right.
And, of course, ran into that buzzsaw Duke in the first round and ended up emerging victorious.
Bucknell, I think Bucknell's like 74 in the RPI. I think.
Yeah, they've dropped. They were up in the like 30s or 40s
earlier.
Yeah,
you know what? No, they may be in the 50s. Their schedule may be 74.
Yeah.
I think their schedule 74 and they're in the 50s. But they're not going to get an at-large bid without winning the tournament.
Yeah.
That's the shame of it because Dave scheduled a really tough schedule. Playing Big Ten teams like Penn State, Purdue, scheduling Missouri out there. I mean, they've done a lot of things scheduling-wise, non-conference, to get themselves ready. But they know it all comes down to three critical games, and the three critical games are the quarters, the semis, and the final, and they need to be perfect in all three games to get there. If they do that, Joe Lenardi has them as a 13 seed.
Which means number four then.
They have four.
And, you know, the American game tonight, they were down in Washington, D.C., and the first time they played, it went to, like, the last second.
Right.
I think Muscala had a basket underneath with literally no time left to pull out a one-point win. Yeah,
exactly. So that'll be tonight at Soika. The seniors have already been honored because Senior Day took place this weekend. They're going, but it's still for the seniors. Now, look, their idea is, like, their senior night to them. They're hoping it's the Patriot League championship
yes.
game.
Yes. Every night from now on is a senior night for Muscala, Willman, Bryson Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, did you know, Steve, that they the pregame at Soika on Sunday for Bryson Johnson from Nova Scotia, they played O Canada?
That's nice.
That was a touchy thing.
I have to tell you a story.
Please,
about that.
Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, it's story time with Steve, and I don't have it ready to go. Oh.
You don't have the cue? Okay. You haven't queued
I don't. Okay. Hang on. You can't tell the story without story time with Steve music. Come on. It just doesn't work without this.
And how anxious was Kansas City was to procure one of those quarterbacks, which is why the Chiefs were willing to get out of there. Well, now
the movie Argo just won the Academy Award for Best Picture. The movie Argo is about how Tony Mendez, a CIA agent, after the wonderful people of Canada, six of our people sneak out of the embassy when it's being taken over November 1960 in Iran. Six of our people sneak out, 54 are still there. The Iranians don't realize the six are out, and they get, after being turned down by Great Britain and I believe Australia, they get refuge with the Canadian embassy. And they stay at the ambassador's home in Tehran, the Canadian ambassador's home. We find out that six are out. The Iranians are not aware they're there, but the Iranians are not quite comfortable with, you know, I thought there were more people that worked here. Well, they come up with this idea that this movie Argo, okay, they need to go on location in Iran to get them out, okay? So Mendez goes in there. He says, basically, he says, we're just going to put them on a plane and fly them out. Oh, yeah, right? The airport, yeah, absolutely. You know, so a Canadian passport, so forth, we get them out. Now, this is not declassified until President Clinton does so in 1997.
Right.
Okay? So even though I think most smart Americans knew we had something to do with it,
yeah,
okay?
Something.
We could not admit to the world that we did it. So at the time, it was the Canadians. Now, first of all, let's give credit where credit's due. The Canadians harbored them for 3 months, okay? That took guts. I mean, guts beyond words to do that.
Putting lives on the line.
Exactly, okay? They would have been hung in the square themselves if they had been, you know, had been found out because, you know, contrary to certain belief, barbarians. So when they brought back, Canada is our great friend. So you talk about Bryson Johnson, they played O Canada. Penn State is playing. This is Dick Carter's the head coach. Penn State's playing in the old Cat House, not the ski lodge, the old Cat House, which is now the Jake Niven Pavilion, okay? And they're playing in there. And so they play the national anthem, and this week is when they snuck them out. They said, and then John Grant's on the air, and John says, as you can hear in the background, they're playing the Villanova alma mater. They're playing O Canada. So a couple years later, I'm doing a game at St. Bonaventure with John, and it's senior night. And I'm on, and I play the national anthem. I said, it's senior night. And by the way, Barry Munger, Chris Samuels, and Rocky Llewellyn, I said, from Kitchener, Toronto, and I think Winnipeg. I said, three players from Canada, and they're going to honor them tonight by playing O Canada, known to some people in our broadcast booth as the Villanova alma mater. The word that was spoken to me off the air is not a word we can use.
Exactly. You know,
so that was story time. Time now for the Kevin Herr rant of the day.
Rant.
Well, a couple of things. I have the answer to your RPI question. You were almost right on at 52. That's the Bucknell RPI. And if they win the Patriot League, they're guaranteed a postseason, at least in the NIT, the way it happened last year. So that's that makes it a big game as well. But I want to talk about a question that came up just recently in – well, one of the questions that's asked to a Colorado tight end reportedly, and this has become a huge topic. The question was supposedly asked by a team: Do you have a girlfriend? Are you married? Do you like girls? Now, this has really been exploded as a question. Now, this is only a claim. There has been no proof of any of it, and everybody is reporting it. Everybody is commenting on it. And, of course, if the NFL follows the same rules and regulations that any other employer would be, there'd be a serious legal problem here. My question is this. Can you go out and start reporting something like this all over the place, have these interviews and things going on, And has anybody even confirmed that this is actually true? And this just isn't a Colorado tight end who all of a sudden wants some notoriety because it's coming up on draft day?
And that's the Kevin Hurt rant of the day. We're here at the Bryce Jordan Center. We'll come back with more and wrap it up on News Radio 1070 WKOK. That was some rant.
You didn't like it?
Bucknell's 52.
No. Wait, hold
on. Big game tonight with American.
But hold on. Now, how can you? But
there's
again.
There's nothing wrong with your rant.
There's no corroboration. I've heard no corroboration. This is one person making this statement. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm skeptical.
Who made the statement?
It was Nick, I think it's pronounced Casa, a Colorado tight end, who is telling ESPN.
Oh, the player said that.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
You know what, though? You know, okay, Matt Barkley. Let's talk about Matt Barkley for a moment.
All right.
Okay, they racked up a bunch of USC tape. Okay? What do you think every single play in the tape happened to be?
I have no idea.
Be a touchdown pass.
Nope. Not one play was a positive play. Play that the NFL guys racked up for him were all negative plays.
Interceptions,
misses, things like that. What happened here? He said there wasn't one play on there that was a positive play of mine.
And we'll regain our connection here momentarily with the Bryce Jordan Center, Steve Jones and Bob Buhner there getting ready for tonight's game, which, by the way, you can hear here on WKOK with a pregame beginning at 6 o'clock. No truth to the rumor, though, that Bob Buhner will be replacing Dick Girardi for this.
And who knows when they asked Manti Te'o? Yeah. And that's not a joke. Who knows what they asked him?
Well, yeah, you'd like to be a fly in the wall in that interview room because –
But, Bob, is that legal?
Absolutely. It's a private matter.
I mean, you could really ask that question?
Yeah. I don't know if you – that's a good – you know, you raised the issue whether you can actually ask that question. I see really nothing wrong with that question, I have to say.
Because to me, that would be like
– Kevin, it's a – Kevin, a bit different – being interviewed for the NFL than specifically being interviewed for a job. I pick out 5 applicants and I interview them for the job, okay? You're just in an interview process talking with these people and it's a draft.
It is. It's all.
That's why it's actually a little bit different.
Okay, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Look at and they do those personality inventories where they pay people big money to come up with these questions to ask people to get a sense of personality and do they have any psychological issues lurking in the background or even in the foreground.
And it could be just one team that asked. Could be. You know, but see, that's the difference. The NFL, there are 32 different divisions of the NFL. So he still has an opportunity in the other 31 divisions to be asked that question. Or not be asked that question. And teams select whom they wish to talk to. I think Jordan Hill was a dozen teams or something like that. And, you know, Gerald Hodges, for example, they were disappointed with Gerald Hodges with the fact that Hodges, they liked a lot of things about him, but the one thing they didn't like is that he didn't meet with the media. He's one of the, like, 20 players who didn't meet with the media. And they wanted to see him do that because they wanted to see how he handled the media because they didn't think he did a great job of handling it down at his All-Star game.
Ah, okay.
Okay? So there's, like, little things like that along the way that because it is the NFL and because it's a draft, I think you have more latitude.
Yes,
absolutely. Would be correct, Bob?
Yeah, it is. It's not – you're not there to interview for a job with a team, which would open up a whole different set of circumstances.
Right.
This is just a showcase, for lack of a better word.
Right.
And I think that thing with Hodges, part when you're in the NFL, they pick a player, come out, address the media. You know, you want to make sure somebody's articulate, somebody has the ability to handle those things.
Not only that, but it's also the other part. You're right about that, Bob, because you go out to the media, franchises are very conscious of image now.
Oh, huge.
Right? Very conscious of image. So they want to make sure that you represent the franchise, the corporation, in a way that they're comfortable.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, virtually any NFL player at some point gets paraded in front of the media.
Sure.
At the post-game news right. conference, and you got to be there, and you got to be on your right. Best game.
Or you could be Devin McCourty, for example, and you have to replace Bill Belichick on the CBS thing when they lose.
Exactly.
Hey, Steve, real quick before we wrap up, the 49ers agreed to a deal with Alex Smith. He'll go to Kansas City. It looks like Matt Cassel will be released. The 49ers get the second selection in the second round, which is the 34th overall pick. Worth the deal?
Yeah, it's worth the deal because you get a starting quarterback out of it, and you're not going to get a starting quarterback with the 34th selection in this year's draft. There is not a quarterback that you're going to select with the 34th overall spot that's going to be a starting quarterback. Now, last year, yes, because of a Russell Wilson, whom Jack Ham and I both, you know, were very high on before last year's draft. RG3, Tannehill, Andrew Luck. There's not that kind of quarterback in this year's draft. So they get a quarterback that's experienced but through it. Now expect Matt Cassel. His next stop is probably going to be Arizona.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
The next stop for Matt Cassel will be Arizona. It's not a thought. I mean, I've talked to enough people that they've told me Arizona's the spot.
Everybody comes out happy in the end.
Well, I don't know. That's a lot of money for Cassel, though. He's got 2 years left and $63 million of a six-year deal.
Kevin.
He's happy.
Kevin.
Yes?
Kevin. This is the National Football League, okay? The money tree. It doesn't matter.
But has Cassel been worth $63 million? I don't think so.
Well, that's the issue. Look, the guy brought them to the playoffs at a... and also a divisional championship, and he made the Pro Bowl along the way. Is he worth that kind of money? Hey, somebody at that time thought he was. That's not his fault. He signed it. All right?
Good point.
He was offered the money. Okay? They didn't look at him and go, I'm sorry, no. Oh, no. I demand it.
Yeah.
Please, I'm not worth that much.
In the NFL.
Yeah, please, no. I don't want the money, really. They offered. He said yes.